Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
My wife planned a trip for us to go to Switzerland for our 20-year anniversary. And anytime she plans a trip, she gets like really fired up about it. She spends months researching online, looking up all the things to do. Where do we need to go? Where do we need to stay? And she'll show me like these pictures and these videos of what we're going to see and what we're going to experience. And here's what I learned. Nothing that she showed me compared to what I actually saw and experienced once I got there. The reason I mention that is because when we do series like this, I can tell you about the return of Christ, but I need you to know that there is no way I can accurately tell you the fullness of what you're going to experience. I promise you that my words cannot paint a picture that will compare to how amazing it is actually going to be. And so my prayer is that through this series, though, it would produce some hope and some expectation for the future that God is calling us into. But at the same time, I'm praying that it will shift the way you live right now. How many of you understand what you believe should be seen through how you live? Hello, are you with me this morning? What you believe should be seen through how you live. I need you to hear this. The salvation prayer is not the finish line of your faith. It is the starting point of something new that Jesus is doing in you and wants to accomplish through you. For too long, we've made Christianity about this thing that we say and this prayer that we pray, and we talk about what we believe, but it's more than what you believe. It's who you are becoming, understanding that He has made you a new creation so that you can participate in new creation, so that you can fulfill His purpose here on this earth. Are you with me this morning? Yes, sir. So right now, I want you to take your Bible, if you have it, and let's go to Luke, the second chapter. And we're also going to look at Revelation, the 21st chapter. In Luke 2, we're going to see the announcement of Jesus' first coming. In Revelation 21, we're going to see the outcome of His second coming. So let's read this together. Luke 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news.'" Somebody say, "Good news." "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The Savior is here. The one you've been waiting for has arrived. This is good news. You know, so many times we hear passages like this and we think, man, that's for Christmas time. And we've heard it so many times that we miss the impact of the news that is being given. This is amazing news. Not just for them. This is amazing news for you. This is amazing news for me. Now let's go to Revelation 21. This is the outcome of His second coming. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." Now, let me just give you a little bonus section right here. When it says the sea was no more, this does not mean that in the new earth there will not be bodies of water. In the context of the first century Jew, they would have seen the ocean as a place of chaos and a place of evil. So what this is saying is there will be no more chaos, there will be no more evil. "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear. Hear this, church. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. What he's saying is the former condition of this world is going to pass away. You need to hear this. He is not saying the world is going to pass away. He's saying the current condition and the system and the brokenness of this world is going to pass away. When the Bible uses the word new in the Greek, there are two different words that it will use. One means brand spanking new. Turn to the person next to you and say, brand spanking new. That means it's never existed before. The other word that it will use for new means to renew or to transform. The reason I say that is because when you see in Revelation 21 a new heaven and a new earth, the word used there is not brand spanking new. It means to renew or transform. In other words, God does not intend to throw this world away. He intends to deliver it from the corruption that is bringing destruction to it. Are you following me? It's important for us to understand this. He is not destroying the world. His desire is not to do away with the world, for God so loved the world, are you with me, that he sent his only begotten Son. God loves the world. It is a part of his good creation. And so his heart is not to destroy the world, but to renew the world. Somebody say renew the world. Watch this. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he looked at every aspect of his creation and he said this, it is very good. Now, I've got a question for you. If I were to ask you to describe the current condition of this world, how many of you would say it is very good? You wouldn't. Why? Because it is not very good. It is very broken. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is turn on the news, turn on social media. You will see that the earth and the world and humanity is filled with corruption. So something has happened to take us from very good to very not good. Here's what happened. Sin entered the world. And through sin came corruption, destruction, decay, and death. Not just for humanity, but for all of creation. Creation itself has been affected by sin. So the question that we have to ask is, what is God going to do about it? What is he going to do about his creation that he loves, that he calls very good? A few days ago, I had the opportunity to go into the Louvre Museum in Paris, and I was able to see the Mona Lisa with my eyes. How many of you know about the Mona Lisa? The very, very famous piece of art. It's priceless. As a matter of fact, when you go in, the Mona Lisa is hiding, or not hiding, but it is hanging behind bulletproof glass in a climate-controlled container, surrounded by armed guards night and day because this piece is so valuable. And what they're wanting to do is protect it from not just the elements, but they're wanting to protect it from crazy individuals who want to destroy it. when I saw this, I started doing some research, and I saw that there have been multiple attempts in the past where people have tried to destroy or even steal the Mona Lisa. As a matter of fact, in 1956, someone went into the museum and threw acid onto the Mona Lisa. But here's what was interesting to me. Although the acid damaged the painting, the museum did not throw it away. They restored it. And they set up a way to protect it from the elements and from humanity. That's what God is going to do. He is not destroying the earth. He is restoring the earth. He is renewing the earth, and he is ridding it of anything that would try to bring any more destruction or decay. That is the storyline of the Bible you need to understand. What started off very good became very broken. And so the narrative of Scripture is how God is going to restore his creation to where it is good again. Watch this in Isaiah 65, verse 17. Isaiah says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." In other words, all the negative junk that you see now and that you experience now, you will not even remember it. That's amazing. Habakkuk goes on to say in Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Do you see that? For the earth is filled. For the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. That is God's intention, to get this place back to where the earth, the entire creation, humanity, and everything that exists is again filled with his glory. Peter echoes this in 2 Peter 3:13. He says, "But according to his promise." What promise? The promise found in Scripture, the promise that God has made to them. "But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." We are waiting for the promise of a better reality where righteousness dwells and covers the earth. That is good news. That is what the Bible presents as the gospel. It's not just Jesus dying for our sins. There's a purpose for him dying for our sins. There is something broken that he is bringing restoration to through his death. There is something he is bringing into that is causing destruction in his good world. A few years ago, Randy, who's our worship pastor, and myself, we were on a boat, and it ran out of gas. You ever been on a boat that ran out of gas? It's not a lot of fun. And without hesitation, Randy jumps into action and he grabbed the paddle. He gets on the front of the boat and he begins to try to paddle our boat. And he's given it everything he's got. Bless his little baby heart. He is just going all in on this thing. And we are going nowhere. But I watched him for a moment because it was very amusing to me. But I eventually picked up the phone and I called the towboat company. And I told them what happened, and they promised me that they would bring me gas. That promise produced hope. Are you seeing this? There was a promise that gas was coming. There was a promise that I'm not going to have to remain stuck in the middle of the lake. What the Bible is wanting us to see is God has made a promise. He's saying, "I have a plan, I am coming, and I am going to do something about it," and that is good news. That is why what the angel is saying to the shepherds in Luke 2 is so amazing. This is something they've been waiting for, John. This isn't new news. They know that a Savior is coming. And when they hear Savior, they are hearing someone is coming to rescue us from the current condition of the world. Someone is coming to deliver us from what is going on. Someone is coming to set us free. And they see the Savior as God himself. So when they hear this news, they hear the towboat is not just on its way, the towboat is come. The Savior you've been waiting for is right here, right now, and he is starting new creation. He is starting something new. He is starting something right now that is going to grow. We need to understand this because many of us think that Jesus came, he died on the cross, and then one day in the sweet by and by, at some point in time, Paul, we're going to fly away. And we think that's the story of Scripture, and it is not. The story of Scripture is something went wrong in God's good world, and he made a commitment to fix it. And everything that he promised to do is being fulfilled in Christ Jesus. New creation has started, new creation is at work right now, and new creation will be completed. Let me show you something. If you go to Luke, the 17th chapter. Now remember this in the back of your mind. Whenever you're reading Scripture, remember this in the back of your mind, that it is all about Jesus. It is all pointing towards what Jesus is going to do. Because in Jesus, the promises of God are being fulfilled. He has already defeated sin and death. He's already done it. Which means, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, even though we may perish, we still live. And one day we have the future hope of resurrection. Because in the same way he came back, we're coming back. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to get back up. So watch this. Luke 17, 20. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answers them. Now, let's pause right here. Because many times when we read the kingdom of God, or in Matthew, Matthew will write it as the kingdom of heaven, and he has reasons for that. When we read the kingdom of God in the Bible, many times our mind goes to the floaty place in the sky. We're reading in heaven. But that's not what this is talking about. They are asking him a question based upon a promise that God has made. God has promised him, I am going to bring my kingdom rule here on earth. And so they are asking Jesus, okay, so when is this going to happen? When is that promise going to be fulfilled? Are you with me? So watch what Jesus responds. He says, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It is already happening because I am here. The fullness of God dwells in me. The kingdom of God is here in me. And as soon as I accomplish my work on the cross, who is in me and what is in me is going to break open and be released to the world. The kingdom's already happened. It's not something we are waiting on. The kingdom is here and now. We don't see the completion of it yet. We don't live in the fulfillment of what it's going to be. But it is here right now. And that should shape how we live to understand that we are kingdom people, Martin. Brandon, we are here for a purpose. To reflect his nature, to carry his kingdom. Why? Because what he started grows through us. Got to get this, church. Because too many people for too long have made church about a place that we assemble, and it's a system of beliefs that we have, but then we kind of go live life however we want, and we do the best that we can until we come back together. And there is more to this than we're getting. Jesus has made you new so that you can participate in new creation right now, so that his kingdom that he started grows through you. We have to be the example to the world that is around us. I am so sick and tired of seeing on social media and on the news people who claim to be Christians acting nothing like the kingdom of God. We cannot be a part of the problem, church. We've got to be a part of the solution. We can no longer divide over political things. We can no longer divide over the color of our skin or the way that we vote or the way that we dress. We cannot divide. Christ has called us to be one. Red, yellow, black, white, we are precious in his sight. And some people are like, well, I don't think so. I'm going to find my little white corner in heaven with all the white people. Well, when you get there, you're going to find out that's not heaven at all. Because heaven is every tribe, every nation, every language, all people coming together. We are one. John, we are one. At some point in time, we've got to get a hold of this thing that Christ has made us one. We are no longer Jew. We are no longer Gentile. We are no longer aliens. We have all been brought into the family of God. We are all precious in his sight. We are one. And until we get centered around Jesus and start celebrating what Jesus has done and start living in the unity of what Jesus has accomplished and start showing the love of God, what are we doing? Division is demonic. Can I say that again for those of you who are having a hard time listening right now? Division is demonic. I want to say it one more time. Division is demonic. Demonic. Jesus came to unite all things in him, and he has started it, and we've got to determine what side of the fence we're going to be on. He says, you got to make up your mind. You're either going to be hot or you're going to be cold on this thing. There is no middle ground. There is no fence to ride. There is no 1 foot over here and 1 foot over here. There is no, well, I'll do these things, but I won't do these things. No, it's either you're all in or you're all out. This kingdom thing has started, and I've got to make up my mind. Am I going to be a part of it? Watch what Jesus says in Matthew 13, 31. He put out a parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. But when it has grown, it is larger than all garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and make its nest in its branches. What Jesus is saying is the kingdom, it may seem small in the beginning, it may seem insignificant in the beginning, but this thing is going to grow and grow and grow and grow until it fills the entire earth. That's God's plan. God's plan was not to get you from here to heaven. God's plan was to bring heaven to earth in and through his people. Here's the big idea. Jesus has already reconnected heaven and earth. And one day it will fully collide. God is not getting rid of the world. He's getting rid of the broken culture and influence because it is destructive to the world he loves. Not just humanity, but creation itself. It's like the old statement that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. God's not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. He's draining the tub and filling it with something fresh. That was Jesus' mission. The mission of Jesus was to restore, unite, and make all things new. Colossians 1:19 says, for in him, in Jesus, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Somebody say all things. Whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9 adds to this, and shows us more of God's plan, saying, making known to us the mystery of his will. What's the mystery of God's will? According to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. What is the mystery? To unite all things in him. Things in heaven and things on earth. To bring it together. That's what he started on the cross in his resurrection. He started new creation. And he stands in the gap of holding the two realities. And they are coming together. And through us, church, we are a part of that mustard seed that is growing. Are you catching what I'm saying? I know that this is new information for a lot of people, but we got to catch hold of what the Bible is actually talking about, what the gospel actually means, because it should activate us to live completely different. Because in order for the earth to be completely filled with the righteousness of God, that means everything that is unrighteous has to be expelled. Think about that. In order for God's good earth to be filled with everything that is good, that means that everything that is not of God has to be removed. That's where we've got to really make up our mind. What side am I going to be on? Am I going to participate in the kingdom of God and be a kingdom person that is bringing God's kingdom rule and reign to this earth? Am I going to live, Paul, here's how we should look at it. Am I going to live as if Christ is already king right now? Because he is. Or am I going to live according to the culture of this world, which is adding to more death and destruction and bringing decay into the world? I've got to make up my mind. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, he says, that he makes known to us the path of life. What that means is he's showing us, here's what life really looks like. You want to know what family should look like? Here's the path. You want to know what relationships and friendships should look like? Here's the path. You want to know what church and community should look like? Here's the path. Here's what leads to life and human flourishing. But everything outside of this is going to lead to death and decay. And you've got to make up your mind which path you're going to walk on. And understand that each path has a determined end. And the end that you find will be because of the result and the consequences of the choices you've made, not because God is sending you somewhere that you don't want to go. Can I just say we've gotten the message of Jesus completely wrong? Here's what we've done. We've made God this angry man in the sky who's pissed off at you. And that may offend some of you. Welcome to Activation Church. We've made God this angry man in the sky. He is mad at you for all that you've done, and he is out to get you. But thankfully, Jesus stepped in front of the bullet and took it for you. Because if not, that bullet was coming straight for you. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is that God loves you, and you have set yourself on a course towards destruction. And he's giving you an opportunity to not participate in it so that you don't have to deal with the end result of it. Have you ever seen a Western movie before? You know, I remember in the old Westerns, the bad guy would blow out the bridge to the trains. And I was thinking, like, what if you were on a train, you're enjoying life, and some guy comes and blows out the bridge ahead of you. The train's going to go down. It's going to be destroyed. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And you're not aware of it. But one day, this person on this helicopter comes and goes, hey, I want to let you know the bridge is blown out. Get on the helicopter so you can save your life. Now, if you go, nah, I'm good. I'm going to stay here. Then when that train goes down, because it is going to go down, it is your fault, not the guy on the helicopter's fault. That's Jesus said, I'm coming, I'm bringing the kingdom way of God. There's an open invitation for whoever wants to come in. Here's the path to life. But you need to know that whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. The end result will be based upon what you have decided, because you want to participate more in culture than you want to participate in kingdom. And remember, please remember what I'm saying. Christianity is not just what you believe, it's who you are becoming. You are becoming a kingdom person. If you hate somebody, you have hate in your heart, you are not a part of the kingdom. You are a part of culture. If you look at someone and that has a different color skin as you and you think, I don't like that, You are not a part of the kingdom of God. You are a part of the kingdom of the culture. If you are continually adding to the problem and never being a part of the solution, you are not a part of God's kingdom. You are a part of the culture. If love is not coming from you, you are not a part of the kingdom. You are a part of culture. I could go on and on with this. But there's so many things that we've allowed into the church. And we think, oh, I'm good because I don't drink or smoke. So I can go to heaven. I've kept my hair cut short. So I can go to heaven. I haven't pierced my ears. I'm a guy. I haven't pierced my ears. I can go to heaven. And we've missed the point. Because we have evil in our heart. And Jesus came so that your heart could be transformed. And as soon as your heart is transformed, then the actions that flow will be right. Listen, next month we're starting a brand new series called Rethink. You need to be here for that. Because we're going to get into some stuff. But what I'm wanting you to see right now is a consequence of your own choice. It's like the prodigal son. You know the story. The kid comes to his dad. He's like, hey, give me my inheritance. And then he goes out, spends everything that he's got on partying, having a good time, and he ends up in a pig's pen. Why? Because the dad sent him to the pig's pen. Here's your punishment. Spend life in the pig's pen. No, that's not it. The pig's pen was the consequence of his decision. The father is saying, come home. I want you to be a part of my family. Are you seeing that? Our Father in heaven is saying, come home. I want you to be a part of my family. I've got something good for you. But as long as you keep on participating with the culture, it is going to bring pain and harm and hurt to you and to others, and I'm not going to deal with it because I love creation and I love my people, and if you will not be a part of it, then at some point in time, I've got to do away with that so that this restoration project can be complete. I heard someone say one time that salvation is saying, God, thy will be done. And judgment is God saying to you, thy will be done. You want the things that lead to death? Here you go. You want the things that lead to broken homes? Here you go. You want to be a part of the things that bring hurt and pain to others? Here you go. You want to be a part of the things that bring abuse? Here you go. I'm giving you what you desire. But the good news is we can make a shift. And I'm not just talking about people who have never given their life to Christ. I'm talking to people today who have considered themselves to be Christians for years, but they've never really become kingdom people. You're just going through life, come what may, not realizing that the kingdom of God is here right now, and the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and he wants to work through you to expand his goodness and his love and his kindness and his truth and his mercy to the world around you. Church, we've got to wake up. Crystal, we got to wake up and become the people that God has called us to be. Our marriages need to be an example of the kingdom of God. The way we do family needs to be an example. Xavier, the way we treat one another when we disagree needs to be an example of the way the kingdom of God operates. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want a life that makes a difference. I want a life that leaves a legacy. I want a life that leaves a mark on this world so that when I'm gone, what we did here as a church carries on. People go, remember that group of people, Activation Church? Remember what they did for the community? Remember what they did for the world? See what they're still doing? Why? Because we're a part of God's new world. He is not getting rid of everything. He is not planning an evacuation plan to evacuate everybody out of here so that he can destroy this earth. That is not what the Bible teaches. He is coming back, and he will make all things new. And that should start in us and be seen through us today. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast.
I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.